Om Shanti, Namaskar, a warm welcome to all of you in our enlightening session. And this session is going to be about not the self, but the God realization. We already have had self-realization and we have now understood that who we are. And there has been two, three sessions where we talked about that what exactly the soul is and where the soul resides in the body. And how we identify ourselves, and there are a lot many things, like we talked about the body, we talked about the position of the soul, we talked about the biodata of the soul. So I hope you must have understood the concept. But now, what relation do we have with the Supreme Soul, the God? There are a lot of belief systems, there are a lot of things, opinions about God. So we will be taking all these things all together in today's session. But before that, there are a lot of questions that we ask. First of all, who is God? This is a very, unique question, a cliche that we would say, because we have been asking this question from a very long time, that who is God? We don't have the real identity of God, a real opinion about God. Then the next question which arises is, what is the need of God? Why do we need God? What am I going to get from God? A lot many people who ask, because people of today's generation are very smart and we have got a lot of facilities, a lot of gadgets with us, a lot of scientific new inventions being, right in front of us. So we have got everything available in the world today. So why do we need God? And what am I going to get from Him? So we don't know the answer to this question. So frequently we ask this, that why are you telling us about God? And who is God? And why do we need God? And the fourth question that arises in our mind is, what is my relation with God? Do I have a relation with Him? Because we have got a lot of relations in this world and we are not fulfilled with those relations. So what is the need of having a relation with God when the relations, the bodily relations are not able to give us or satisfy us or fulfill us? Why do we have to have an extra relationship with God? So this is the fourth question. The next question that arises in our mind, it is, has God benefited me ever? So has God given me something? This is, such a unique questions that we ask most of the time. A few years back, there was a person whom I met and I was telling that person about God. And then he just asked me that, sister, there is nothing like God. And God is nothing but a kind of an excuse that we have made for our blames to put on. So we put all our blames on God, and whatever good things we do, we take the credit of it. And if something wrong happens, we actually put blames on God. So God is nothing but human's creation. Human beings have created God for their own benefit so that they can blame someone for their, wrong deeds. So that was his perception. But when we see a lot many people who are actually searching for God, so there are a lot of, confusions. There are a lot of misunderstandings. So here also we will be talking about a lot of things, that what all belief systems exist in the world and how we can actually get the meaning behind those belief systems. What exactly those things are telling us. So now, as we see, there are a lot of deities in Hindu religion in particular, because we have got a lot of deities whom we are worshipping nowadays. We have Vishnuji, Shankarji, and there are a lot of goddesses like Devi Durga, like Devi Santoshi, Devi Kali, and many more. And Ganeshji, Hanumanji. So there are a lot of deities. In Hindu religion, we have got 33 crore Devi Devta whom we remember. And in each and every household, we see there is a Kul Devta or a Kul Devi, a Isht Devta or a Isht Devi. And we have been remembering these deities from time immemorial. And it's been a long time that we believe them and we are worshipping them. From Monday to Sunday, we have got fixed our days to worship deities. So who are these deities? I want to tell you a very beautiful story. Once there was a Brahmin, and this Brahmin was having a child, and that child was having cancer. And the Brahmin took that child to the doctor, and doctor said that now the child, that this disease is incurable and I can't do anything. So it's the God only who can do magic. So you just remember God. I hope that God can cure your child. So the Brahmin was left with nothing but just a simple faith in God. So he was worshipping Shri Krishna at the time, and he was chanting his name all the time. But then suddenly someone came from his neighborhood and told him that, why are you worshipping Shri Krishna this time? Because Shri Krishna is not the one who is going to cure your child. You should remember Devi Durga or Devi Amba, because she is the one who actually bestows, mercy on everyone. She is the Kalyankari Devi, and she would do something for your child. So you should start worshipping Devi from now on. And the Brahmin did the same. He started worshipping Devi Durga. And then after a few days, another neighbor came. And when he saw that this Brahmin is worshipping Devi Durga and the child is still the same, he's not, you know, the disease is not getting cured, then he suggested something else to him. He said, why are you worshipping Devi Durga at this time? You should worship Lord Ganesha, because Lord Ganesha is Vigna Vinashak. He is the one who will actually remove all your obstacles. So you should remember Lord Ganesha more. So then the Brahmin thought, okay, fine, if Ganesha is the Vigna Vinashak, so from now on I'll remember him. So he started, you know, remembering and worshipping Lord Ganesha. Then 1 week passed worshipping Lord Ganesha. And then after that, a very close relative visited him. And when he saw that Brahmin worshipping Lord Ganesha, he told him that, why are you doing all this? You should practice chanting Gayatri Mantra, because Gayatri Mantra is a magical mantra. And if you are going to chant magical mantra of Gayatri, then definitely the magic will happen and your child will be cured. So Brahmin took that thing, and then from the next time he started chanting Gayatri Mantra. Then after few days, another person came from his relation, and then he said, why are you chanting Gayatri Mantra? You should remember Hanuman, because Hanuman is Sankat Mochan. So he is going to remove all your obstacles, all your Sankat and all the problems that you have in your life. So whatever fears you have, that fears will be removed. So all your problems will be removed if you remember Hanumanji. Then he started worshipping Hanumanji. Then after few days, another one came and suggested him that there is a Baba who has just visited our city. So that Baba is very magical, and then Baba has got a lot of powers with him. He is going to give you a Bhabuti. And so take your child to that Baba and bring that Bhabuti, and you will see some magic will happen and your child will be cured. So that Brahmin, he took that child to the Baba and he brought the Bhabuti for him. And after a few days, the child died. So what was the reason? What do you feel? What is the reason? Why did the child die? The reason was there was no faith. Right? So these things we are doing on a daily basis. We have put the photos of all the deities in our temple, in a small temple that we have made, a small corner that we have made for God in our household. We have put all the photos in our temple, and we are, you know, actually showing aarti to everyone, but we don't believe everyone. We don't know who's going to respond. It's like we are going to each and every officer and asking him to help me. Just like if a person is having some task to be done and his work is, you know, uphold, his work is on hold, and he doesn't know who is the one whom I should approach so that my work is done, so that my work is finished. So he's actually visiting lot of officers, and he's actually wandering around, and so many offices he's visiting, and he doesn't know who is going to pass my file to the real one, and who is the real one who is going to actually solve my problem. So there are lot many persons this person is meeting, but he doesn't know who is going to respond him. So similarly, if that person knows that one person who is actually the head of all of them, then he won't go to any officer again. He will just approach to that right person and his problem will be solved. Now, Even in a real household that we live, the house in which we live, we have a head of ours. We have mother, father, children, and lot many people in our house. But there is one head who always takes decision, and whom we actually refer to whenever a house, when we talk about our house, we always say that this is the head of our house. Similarly, who is the head of all these deities? If there are 33 crore deities in Hindu religion, then who is the head of all these deities? Who is the one whom these deities refer to always? So this is a question that we should ask. Now the next thing comes that we have found God, we have tried to found God in religious founders, and we have believed that these religious founders are going to give us some way or show us some way or show us some path that can reach to God. We have got Ibrahim, Buddha, Mahavir, Jesus Christ and Guru Nanak. So they have got different opinions and they have tried to show us some path that can lead us to God. So we will see later on that what path they have shown, are those paths leading us to God or what they have tried to tell us. So all those things will be taken. Then there is another belief system. There are a lot of saints, Mahan Atmai, great souls who have taken birth in this. There are a lot of great souls who have taken birth on this earth. And similarly, we have got a lot of saints, the great souls who have taken birth on the earth, like Shankaracharya, Swami Narayan, Saint Xavier's, Khwaja Sharif, Sai Baba. And we have got many more of them, like Mother Teresa is there, Mahatma Gandhi is there, then Swami Vivekananda is there. So we have got lot many saints who have tried to guide us and tried to show us the path of God. But what they actually tried to tell us, we have been going away, we have been moving in a different direction. Even after, you know, so many preachings, so many things that they have told, we are completely out of the way. Even now, we don't know who exactly is God. Then we have another belief system that if nature is God, so we have tried to worship all the elements of nature. We try to worship sun, we try to worship water, rivers, fire, animals, trees, because we are getting something out of them. From trees we are getting the shade, from trees we are getting the oxygen, from trees we are getting the wood and the fruits and so many other things. So trees are an ultimate giver, so they are giving all the time. Similarly, we see the sun. Without the sun, we can't even imagine our life. Without the water, we can't even imagine our life. So sun, river, fire, they play such important roles in our lives. So they are continuously giving us. And we always believe that God is the one who is giving completely every time. So He's the things that are continuously giving us maybe the forms of God. So we have started worshipping sun, we have started worshipping rivers, we have started worshipping fire, trees, animals because of that. But that is another belief system, because those are elements of nature. So can nature be considered as God? Then there are other belief systems also, like we believe that God is Nirakar, and then the scriptures tell us different aspects of God. We have got lot of scriptures. In every religion, we have got lot of scriptures, lot of Shastra, lot of Vedas, Upanishads, and lot of holy books. So all these scriptures are trying to tell us something and trying to lead us to path of God. So what exactly is the essence of all these scriptures? So we don't know that. Then we have got another concept of God being omnipresent. So God is everywhere. We always say God is here, God is there, and we see God everywhere. But when people tried to show us the path that God is omnipresent, they were actually signifying that the love that we have for God, that tells us that God is actually everywhere. We have seen Meera. And when you see Meera, you always see her, you know, so much devoted and so much, you know, engulfed in God's remembrance, that she would always see Shri Krishna everywhere. She always used to say, wherever I see, I find Krishna. Wherever I see, I find only my Kanha. So that was her love for God. Similarly, the people who have that love for God, they tried whoever we love, we always feel that person is everywhere. So this is because of love. Out of love, we feel that the God is everywhere. But it doesn't mean that God is omnipresent. We shall be talking about this concept more in our next sessions. Then there is another concept, spirits. Nowadays, black magic has been taking over. So people are worshipping spirits nowadays. So that is also a different thing. And we are thinking, because none of the deities, none of the holy saints, none of the religious leaders are going to show us the path. But worshipping these spirits definitely can bring some magic in our lives. So that is another thing. Then some people feel that work is worship. So they are concentrating only on work, because we feel only the karma can give us some benefit. Karma, out of the karma, we achieve something. So we are getting success if we work hard. So work is worship. So all these concepts are actually misguiding us, not giving us a particular way, a single way to remember God. So we have got all these belief systems. So here is a beautiful story in front of you. There is a person who was actually reading a newspaper once. And when he was reading the newspaper, he actually saw that there were many columns who were talking about God. So in one of the column, it was written that nature is God. In another column, it was written that soul is God. Atma so Paramatma means the soul. We the soul, we are God, because we possess the virtues of God. Some of the virtues of ours reflect as if God's virtues exist. So we are the God. Now there was another column, and that column said Brahma is God, because most of the saints, we have seen them saying that we are going to one day merge into Brahma. So Brahma is what? Brahma is nothing, but it is a place to live. We have already talked about Brahma, Brahma Lok, the sixth element. That is a place where we all souls reside. So Brahma is God is another concept that was written in a column. Then the fourth thing that was written was God is omnipresent. So God is everywhere. Then in the fifth column, it was written that deities are the forms of God. All the deities that we are seeing, they are the forms of God. And then the next column said, God doesn't have any name or form. God is Naam Roop Se Nyara. He is not having any name, neither a name nor a form. So don't worry about finding his name or searching for his form, because he is not having any name and form. Then the last column said, God is an illusion. So don't worry to find God. God is an illusion. God is a myth. So it's not necessary to find God, because there have been lot of confusion already. So why are you wasting your time searching for God? God is nowhere. There is nothing like God. So now, with all these things, now we know all these things that exist in the world. And there is a very beautiful story in front of you. Once there were five blind people who wanted to experience the elephant, and the elephant just came in front of them, and they tried to experience it by touching it. The first blind person, he touched the trunk of the elephant, and when he touched it, he felt elephant looks like as if he is a snake. The second person, who he touched the ear of the elephant, and he felt as if elephant is like a fan. The third person, he touched the stomach of the elephant, and he felt as if elephant is like a big concrete wall. Then the fourth person, when he touched the elephant's tail, he felt as if elephant is just like a rope. And the fifth person, when he touched the feet of the elephant, he felt elephant is like a pillar. When all these five blind people, now they went to see a sixth blind person who was sitting somewhere else. And when they started telling him about their experience, that how elephant looks like, so they tried to explain him, that sixth blind person, he got an idea of the elephant, that what a different kind of an animal this elephant is. And he's changing his form so frequently. Sometimes he becomes like a snake, sometimes he becomes like a fan, sometimes like a wall, sometimes like a rope, and sometimes like a pillar. So he understood that elephant is actually a multi-personality, a multi-form kind of an animal, which changes its form so frequently from time to time. Now that person, he went to see another person who was also blind. So that seventh person, and when he was explained about the form of the elephant, that seventh person was very shrewd. He was very educated, and when he came to know about this changing multi-personality explanation of the elephant, he said, "No, I can't believe all this, because elephant can't be like an animal who's so frequently changing his form. There is no animal in this world who can change its form so frequently." So nowadays, it is the same example, the same point that we are trying to say. Nowadays, the generation we are seeing, that generation is so enlightened, that generation is so smart. If you try to tell them that God has got a lot of forms, and God keeps on changing these forms, and you can remember God, you can recognize God in whichever form you want. So today's generation doesn't believe this concept, and that is the reason why we are moving from faith. The faith is actually depleting nowadays, and people are not believing in God. So it is difficult for people of nowadays, for youth of nowadays, to believe in all these concepts about God, that God is deities, God are the saints, the forms and the scriptures. So all these things, they try to lead us to way to God, but they are actually taking us away. Now, who can be God? The question is still the same. So how can we recognize God? So here now you will think that there is a sister coming in front of you and telling you that what is the form of God. So I'm going to give you another concept of God. No, we are just going to tell you the five important facts. Now I'm going to tell you the five concepts, the five standards. And on the basis of these five standards, you can judge yourself that what can be God, who can be God, and what is the real form of God. So what are these five concepts? One of that concept is the God being omniscient. Whoever the God is, he should be Sarvagya. Sarvagya omniscient means knower of everything, the one who knows everything, ocean of knowledge. So the one who knows about the past, the present and the future of the world, and the one who knows the whole of the knowledge about how this whole universe is made of, how this whole universe is being executed, the one who is having the knowledge of everything, the knowledge of the past, previous births of all the souls of the world, the knowledge of all the concepts, the knowledge of the time, that is the one who can be considered as God. So this is a very important point, the first point. So judge according to your belief, judge according to your intellect, that what exactly can be the form of God, or who can be the God who can tell you everything about the past, present and future of the world, and how the form of the universe is, and how the whole universe is being executed. So when we talk about God being almighty, that means there is no one above God who is more powerful than him. So God is the one who gives power to everyone, but there is no one who is having more power than him. So God being almighty. Then the third concept is God being the supreme one, Sarvoch Shakti, the power which is beyond everything. Supreme means he is the supreme guru, he is the supreme teacher, he is the supreme father, he is the supreme mother. So there is no relation that is above God. So God is not having any father. God is not having any mother. God is not having any teacher. God is not having any guru. So he is the guru of all the gurus. He is the mother of all the mothers. He is the father of all the fathers and teacher of all the teachers. He is the preceptor of all the preceptors. He is the one who gives knowledge to everyone. He is the one who gives power to everyone. But there is no one above him who is actually teaching him or giving him sadgati or bestowing him with someone. He is the ultimate bestower. He is the supreme father, the supreme guru, supreme teacher. Then the third thing is beyond all, sarvopari. So God is beyond all the chakras, all the things that we are, all the bondages that we are engaged in. The soul is having lot of bondages. There are lot of things, restrictions being put on soul. Like the restrictions of coming into the birth and then having death. So the birth and the death cycle, we all are having the bondage and restriction that we all have to undergo this process of birth and death. But God is beyond this process of birth and death. If He has to take birth, then definitely He has to face death. But God never dies. So birth and death cycle, so God is beyond that. Then when we take birth, then we come into another chakra. There is another bondage. Another bondage is of relations, the relation with the body and the other bodily relations. So when we come into the body and the bodily relations, we have a lot of karma to be done. So God is the one who is actually not doing anything. So He is a non-doer, a karta, a bhokta. So He is the one who does everything. He just does of giving us the right information, the right knowledge. That's all. Otherwise, there is no karma which is actually going to give some create some accounts of good or bad, a good karma or a bad karmic accounts, a pap or a punya karmic account. God is free from all these accounts. God is free from all these chakras of life, the bondages of pap and punya, of the right and the wrong. Then accordingly, the God is free from happiness and God is free from sorrows. So neither He experiences happiness nor He experiences sorrows. He gives us happiness. He bestows us happiness. But He Himself having happiness and having the accounts of happiness, having the accounts which give Him sorrows, those kind of accounts are not created by God. So He is beyond all these karma, all these chakras of life. That is why we call Him Sarvopari. The last standard, the last kasoti about God, how we can judge Him. God is the one who is universally accepted. If the people of all the religions, of all the backgrounds, if they stand together and we put this concept of God, we put this form of God and name of God, then the people of all religions, of all backgrounds should accept this thing that yes, this is the real form of God. So what exactly is that belief about God that all the religions are actually believing? Now, what is the real form of God and how the God looks like? So we are going to tell you about the real form. The actual form of God is point of light. The actual form of God is incorporeal. We are going to see it in detail. This point of light form, this incorporeal form is so magnetic that we feel and we see, because this concept is absolutely universal. There is nothing that can be, this is nothing, it is not a conceptualized concept, because this form of God is actually accepted by everyone. The point of light form. Why we are saying that point of light form of God is the real form of God? Because point is the only figure which is having no shape. We have heard in geometry that geometry defines point as a figure which is having no shape. So there is nothing in this world which is made without a point. We have talked about the originality of the soul. The soul's form is like a point. And when we see the soul's father, how the soul's father should also look like. We see an animal's father look like an animal. We see a human being's father look like a human being. So how the soul's father should look like. The soul father should look like the soul only. Na? So when we are point of light souls, our father should also look like point of light. In the same way, the God, when we say Nirakar doesn't mean that He is not having any akar, that He is beyond name or form. Definitely He has got a form. There is nothing in this world which is not having any form. Because something that doesn't have a form, something that doesn't have a name, doesn't exist in this world. And we don't talk about it. But when we talk about God, when we worship Him, everywhere we worship Him, we worship God, universally we worship Him, every religion is worshipping Him, every person is worshipping Him. So say there definitely has to be a form. And what is that form? That form is the incorporeal one. We call it as a nirakar also. That form of God is eternal, imperishable, because we call Him that He never dies. He is just like an energy, a pure conscient being that never dies. He is going to be forever. Now we were talking about the form of God. So when we just discussed about the five concepts that how we can actually decide that who is God. So the fifth concept said that God should be universally accepted. So He should be accepted by people of all religion and all the holy saints and all the preceptors. They should show the path of this form of God, of the light form of God. Similarly, when we see Shankarji and we visit the temple, in Hindu religion we have seen lot of Jyotirlingam being made. From north to south, from east to west, we have seen lot of Shiva temples and some really ancient temples. When we go and visit those temples, you won't see any image of Shankarji there. You will just see Shivling there. But what that Shivling signifies, that Shivling signifies the light form of God. Because when you see that stone, there are three lines on that stone and in the middle line you see a point of light. That exactly is the real form of God, the Jyoti, the Prakash, the light form of God, the point of light form of God. And when you see a Shankarji's temple and you visit the temple, you see that Shankarji is actually remembering someone. He is engulfed in remembrance of someone. He has have his whole costume made like this because he is a Vairagi. He's the one who has left everything. He has renunciated everything. And he wants salvation. So he is remembering someone. And when you remember someone, you put the form of that deity in front of you. So Shankarji is remembering God Shiva. And he has put Jyotirlingam in front of him. And he is concentrating on the Jyotirlingam. Similarly, we see Rameshwaram. When we go Rameshwaram, there are 12 Jyotirlingams in India when we talk about. And all those Jyotirlingams are based on the virtues, on the qualities of Lord Shiva, of the Jyoti, of the Prakash. When we go to Rameshwaram, we have seen Sri Rama even worshipping God Shiva. Because Sri Rama was knowing when he was actually trying to conquer Ravana, he knew the fact that Ravan was having a blessing from God Shiva and it was very difficult for him to defeat him. So he worshipped God Shiva to have even much more bigger power than Ravan. And then when he got that power, he defeated Ravan. So he worshipped God Shiva. And in the same way we see when we go to Gopeshwar, even Lord Krishna ji is worshipping God Shiva. He is putting the milk and the water on Shivling. He denoted God Shiva as the power who is beyond him, who is even above him. And in the same way we have got Somnath and Amarnath. When we say Somnath, Somnath is one of the 12 Jyotirlingams we talk about. Somnath, because God Shiva, the Jyotirling again, Raja Vikramaditya was the one who made that temple. And the temple was a really the most ancient temple. And it was actually the temple which was made for the first time when worshipping God started, when bhakti started, devotion started. And when the bhakti started with the remembrance of that Jyotirlingam form of God, the point of light form of God, the God worshipping, being worshipped as a light, as Shiva, then it was remembered that God is the one who gives us the somras. He is the one who gives us the nectar of knowledge, who gives us the nectar to become immortal. And in the same way, when we go to Amarnath, we see that there was a Jyotirlingam there and people are going and traveling to on this yatra, on this journey to Amarnath. There they worship Shivling in the form of again a Jyoti or again a Prakash. And then when we go to Nepal, we are having Pashupatinath. In Pashupatinath, you will again find a Shivling. You will again find the Jyoti, the point of light form of God being worshipped. Then in Islam, we are having this concept of remembering God as Allah, and these, all the Muslims, they remember God as the God is Noor-e-Ilahi, the God who is the light. So this form of God, when they go to Hajj, when they say that, oh God, please accept our Hajj, because you are Noor-e-Ilahi, you are Parvardigar. So they are also remembering God, and that is the best form of remembering God, because when they sit in meditation, when they give their namaz, they are actually sitting in a meditative form, and they are remembering God by saying that God, Allah, the one who resides above, the one who is above everyone. So that is a best way of meditating God. That is the best way of remembering God. Then we have seen Gautam Buddha, and then we have seen Shri Mahavir. Both of these are saints. Both of these are the one who left everything in search of truth. So they were searching for good. If they are God, then why are they searching for good? Why they went into the jungles, into the forest in search of food, in search of truth? When we say God is truth, why would God go in search of truth? So these two persons, they dedicated their life to find what is the reality of life. And we have got in Jainism lot of Tirthankas, about 24 Tirthankas. They all are Tapasvi. They all are the one who renunciated everything. And they wanted to know what is the reality of life. They dedicated everything so that they can find what the truth is. And in the same way, we have Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never said that I am God. He always said that God is light and I am the Son of God. Even when he was crucified, he said that those people who are actually doing this to me, oh God, please forgive them, because they don't know that why they are doing this. They don't know that ultimately this is going to give them sorrows. So please forgive all these people for their sins. So Jesus Christ prayed to God while he was crucified. So if the Son himself is praying to God, how can we say that Jesus Christ is the one who is God? Then we are having Guru Nanak. Guru Nanak ji has given us a very beautiful description of God in Guru Granth Sahib. When we read it, we see the real praise of God being done by Guru Nanak. He said, God is Nirakar, Ekonkar, Satnam, Karta Purakh, Akal Murat, Nirbhau, Nirvair. All these descriptions about God, it point that God is Ekonkar, one form of God, one point of light form of God, one form which is made of light. So this God is Ek Omkar Akal Murat, the one who never dies, the one who is Akarta Abhokta, the one who never takes birth now, the one who never comes into any bondage. So he also points above and he says that God is light. So all these deities, all these saints, holy saints, and all these preceptors, they were showing us the path to one supreme father. Even the Prajapita Brahma, the one who is the founder father of Brahma Kumaris, he showed us the path that he is not the one, he is just an instrument. He showed us the path to one supreme God father, the point of light form of God. And that's how we came to know that what is the name of God. The real name of God is Shiva. But we have got different names of God. With different perceptions, we have given these different names because of the virtues, because of the experiences that we have had of God. Some call him Yehovah. Some call him Godfather, some call him Allah, some call him Ekonkar, Khuda, Ishwar, Bhagwan, El Shaddai. Even Moses, when he found 10 commandments and he went up to the hill, he get that vision of the God being a point of light. He had a sakshatkar, he had a divine vision in which he saw the point of light, the light form of God. And when he saw that, he said, God is Yehovah. And in the same way, when we see God having being called by these different names. We call God as Khuda, we call, see God as Allah. So all these names of God are because of the properties, because of the qualities of the God. So what is the meaning of Shiva? Why we are saying that God's real name is Shiva? Shiva is actually not the name of a Hindu God. Shiva is actually a Sanskrit word, the meaning of which is point, the meaning of which is seed, the meaning of which is benefactor, the one who is point, the one who is a seed, the one who starts everything, the one who is the essence of everything, the one who is the benefactor, the one who benefits all, the one who always bestows happiness, is the name, the real name, Shiva. And the name, the form, the wisdom, the nature, the actions, all these things of God can be described in just one name and one single word, and that is Shiva. So Shiva, don't think with this name that we are talking about Hindu God, but this is the name which gives us the meaning of the real form of God, the name of God, the wisdom of God, the nature and actions of God. Now there are different praises of God. There are many people who want to know about God. So what all qualities does God possess? So He is the Supreme, He is the Purifier, He is the Triloki Nath, He is the ocean of all virtues, the one who possesses all the virtues, the one who can give us all virtues. He is the seed of the whole Kalpavriksha. Kalpavriksha, we'll be knowing about that concept later in our next sessions. Then God is the one who is the liberator. The God is the Trikaldarshi, the one who knows about the past, present and the future, the Almighty. Then the God is the one who gives us the divine insight, because the God is the one who opens this third eye. We always are concerned about how we can open our third eye and when it's going to open. So He is the one who gives us the insight, divine insight. Then the God is the one who can transform us, who can transform a bad soul into a good soul. The God is the one who can transform humans into deities. Then God is the one who gives us good fortune, great fortune. Then God is the one who is the creator of heaven, the one who establishes heaven. God is the one who is real Trimurti. When we say Trimurti, we talk about three deities who are involved in a very important task, that is of generation, operation and destruction. So the God is the one, God Shiva is the one who is actually doing this job of creating, then providing sustenance and then destroying. So who is the one who created everything? The Trimurti. Then God is the one who is the bestower of knowledge, the one who is the ocean of knowledge. So with all these virtues, we should remember God, because these virtues are just, you know, it is just like a drop in an ocean. But God has got lot of virtues, lot of qualities in Him. And in the more depth we go, we will remember Him. We will actually recognize Him. And the more we understand God, the more closer relationship we can get with God. Then what exactly are the similarities? When we say Atma so Paramatma, but that is a different thing. Atma can never be Paramatma. We always talk about the similarities between soul and the Supreme Soul. So there definitely are similarities. Why? Because we all are children of God. Some people believe that we are actually pieces of God. There was a time when God existed and God had a huge break in His personality, and lot of pieces came into picture, and those pieces are actually the souls. So we are not a piece or an ansh of God. We are actually vansh, a family of God. So we all look like Supreme Soul because we all are His children. We all are point of light, and similarly God is also point of light. But it doesn't mean that we have actually come from Him. The souls are eternal, the Supreme Soul is eternal. So what all similarities do we have? One similarity is being incorporeal. The soul is incorporeal, the Supreme Soul is incorporeal. Then we all are point of light, similarly Supreme Soul is point of light. We all are conscient beings of light, Supreme Soul is a conscient being of light. We all are eternal, even God is eternal. We all can't die. We all are immortal, imperishable souls. Similarly, God is also imperishable, eternal. And we all are self-luminous. So these similarities we have with God, we share with God. Then we have got some differences also. What those differences are? Souls are many, but God is one. We have got lot of souls in the world. We have got deities, lot of preceptors, lot of dharampitas, religious leaders, lot of great souls in the world. We have got lot of people who donate something. So there are lot many souls in the world. But when we talk about God, we won't say that this person is God or that is God. We won't say there are 700 crores God roaming around in this whole world. If we have to say that each one is God, then definitely the population that we have right now on earth, we would say everyone is God. And we are having lot many gods in the world roaming around at this moment. But we won't say like this, right? So God is one and souls are many. We all are children of God. Secondly, the second difference is we are womb born and the God incarnates. We never say to ourselves that I have incarnated. No. We always say I have taken birth. So we all take birth from the womb, but God would never take birth from the womb. Because if he will take birth from the womb, he will also become just like a soul. But his property, his quality is different. His kartavya, his occupation is different. His qualification is different. His task is different, and that is why he is called God. So he incarnates into a body and he gives knowledge. We'll be seeing that later on. Then the souls are bodied, but God is bodiless. If God also has to have a body, then he definitely will be having lot of bondages, but God is free from all those bondages. But we souls, because we acquire body, so we have got lot of bondages, like bondages of taking birth and then having death, then bondages of karma, then bondages of pap and punya, the good or bad deeds, then the bondages of happiness and sorrows. So we have got lot of bondages, but God doesn't have. Then there are lot of, we are bound to have lot of experiences, but God is beyond experiences. So he doesn't have experience of the world, we can say that. We have got lot of experience because we undergo lot of processes, but God is the one who liberates us from those processes. So he is not having any experience of happiness or death or sorrows or any kind of that experience. He is the one who gives us the power to face those experiences, to have those experiences and face challenges in the world. Then God, we come into the cycle of birth and death, and God is beyond birth and death cycle. So these are all the concepts, all the differences that we have with God. So now you all have understood lot many things we have discussed today about God. I hope you just had a different thing to know, because it was altogether a very new thing that we were discussing, we were telling. So just think about it and give yourself some time to absorb these things, and then you will ultimately come to a conclusion that this point of light form of God is actually the real form, and I can have a very beautiful relationship with the point of light, with God Shiva. So now let us meditate for few minutes, 2 minutes. Let us spend some time and concentrate and see yourself as a point of light sitting in the center of the forehead. Focus on yourself. Draw all your attention as you focus. You see a shining star in the middle of the forehead. I am a peaceful soul. I am a loveful soul. I am a blissful soul. I am a conscient energy. Radiating peace, love and bliss. This is the time when I am having a new awakening. I am knowing about my own self. And on the basis of that, I am establishing a new relation with the Supreme Father. Today I came to know that the Supreme Father is also just like me. He is the bestower of happiness, bestower of knowledge, just like a seed. He is the one who always gives. He has given me so much. Today, I got a beautiful introduction of my own father. Now, it is so easy for me to have a good relationship with him. Now, I am not confused anymore. I am feeling his light. I am feeling his powers. My heart is filled with a lot of love and a lot of happiness. There's a lot of attraction that I have for the Supreme Father. As if he is pulling me like a magnet. I thank him for this beautiful introduction, for opening my third eye, for bringing this awareness. I shall be exploring this relationship more in the coming days, in my entire life. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be meeting you again in the next session. And in the next session, we will be talking about the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Godfather back again. And we will be watching and seeing some of all the properties, the sum of the tasks that God performs and his real occupation. So I hope to see you back again. Thanks for now. Om Shanti.